Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, it's Tabernacle Family Church. Who's excited to worship the King of the Kings and Lord of Lords this morning? If you want, you're welcome to come forward towards the altar and worship with us, or stand wherever you'd like, but we're just going to stand and worship Him today. And we are so excited to just drop those things off that we had bothering us this week. We're going to lay them down. We're going to lay everything down and just worship Him this morning.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter if there's music going on. It doesn't matter if we're talking, if we're singing. He is worthy. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I need everybody to find five people, and I just want you to say, wake up. Go ahead and do it. Just say, wake up. Go command somebody's flesh. Wake up. Wake up, Trevor. Wake up, Haley. Wake up, Dean. Wake up. Wake up. Are we ready to praise God? Why did you all come here this morning? Did you all come here to get something, or did you come here to give yourself to Jesus? That's the question we all need to ask ourselves right now. And it's great to get something from God. It's awesome to receive. But the whole reason we praise and worship is to give ourselves to God, is to give him the attention and the honor and the worship that he deserves. Amen. Amen. I just want you to go ahead and raise your hands with me. And I just want you to say, God, I'm here for you. Go ahead and say that again. Jesus, I'm here for you. Do you submit yourself to him this morning? Is he allowed to do whatever he wants in your heart? Because it's only good things. Amen. He only has good things. The word says that if heavenly parents know how to give good gifts, how much greater can he give to you this morning? But first, we've got to give ourselves to him. Amen. Amen. I just want you to take 30 seconds, and I just want you to really, really focus in on Jesus. What does that mean to you this morning? Does that mean focusing on the cross? Does that mean letting go of everything bad that happened this week? Does that mean forgetting anything good that happened this week and just presenting yourself as a holy and acceptable sacrifice to him? Go ahead, take 30 seconds. You can talk out loud. Go ahead, speak out loud. Jesus, I just completely give myself to you right now. I just give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. God, everything that was done this week, it was for you. It was for your kingdom. It wasn't for me. It wasn't for my own benefit. It was to see your kingdom come and your will be done. And I thank you for letting me rest on your joy. I thank you for letting me rest on your peace. I thank you that I don't have to do anything in my own strength, but I can rely on yours. Sing it out. Sing, you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Oh, you deserve it. Come on, sing that out to your king. Sing, you deserve it. Yes, you deserve my. You deserve. Get just an okay response from him. But if you come to the altar and you say, God, you are my king, you are my deliverer, you are my healer, you are my everything, he will show up as that. He will show up as that. You can have what you say. A relationship is a two-way street, amen? We don't come here just to get touched in our emotions and cry at the altar. We come here because this is a relationship. So how do you want to present yourself to God this morning? Because that's what you're going to get back. And there's still time to get in that presence. Amen. This is all about him. This is all about him. Is this all about Jesus this morning? This is not about a feeling. Amen. This is not about us just getting touched in our emotions. This is about giving ourselves completely in a relationship with him. Go ahead and just lift your hands. And if you haven't done it already by this time, I want you to do it now. And I want you to say to Jesus, however you're presenting yourself to him, God, I present myself to you as your servant. I present myself to you as your daughter. Jesus, I'm one of your believers. Look down on me and be pleased with my faith. Look down on me and be pleased with me, Jesus. I give all of my attention to you. Music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all
about church during the middle of the week, you don't have anything. But when it's all about Jesus, he's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's that intimacy, that relationship with him. And I just challenge you in your next level to be able to hear him whisper. Remember, this is a year of the next level. That is, the summit is Jesus. The summit is knowing him. The summit's not making more money. The summit's not becoming more prominent in the church. The summit is not doing this. The summit is simple. I want all of Jesus that I can get. Paul made that declaration, I count all things but dung just to know him. And I pray that each one of us, by the end of this year, this is the heart, that if he whispers to us, we'll just turn. What do you want? Remember Samuel? He was a little boy, and all of a sudden God called his name, and he got up and he ran to the prophet, and he said, you called me? And he said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Went back to bed. All of a sudden, God calls him again. He gets up and he runs to the prophet and says, did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Figured out that prophet said, listen now, next time just say, here am I. Goes back to bed, and all of a sudden God calls him and goes, here I am. He learned the voice of God. God wants you to know his voice. So that when he calls to you, you're not going to have to go back to Eli, the prophet, and say, hey, what do you want? And you go, no. I know the voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And I pray that this year, the greatest thing you can get is all about this. It's all about you. It's all about you. Amen? To know his voice. On your way back to your chair this morning, can you say hi to five folks? Now, listen now. We usually go to everybody we know. Go to somebody you don't know this morning and say, good morning. I'm so glad you're in the house of God.
It is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming. HT family, Miss Brittany and I are here today to invite you to a group. Join us at the group desk and sign up for groups today or go online to histabernacle.com/groups. Families that grow and go. I want to tell you about our Next Steps class that's offered here at His Tabernacle. If you want to build an amazing foundation on the Word of God and learn how to lead people with integrity and knowledge, then you want to join Next Steps. At the Horseheads campus, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Wednesday at 9 a.m. are our Next Steps classes. At Horseheads and Ithaca campus, Thursdays at 6 o'clock is when they're taught. I want to see you there. I want to see you get equipped and built up in the Word of God.
God said, you've got to put me first. He said, don't put me on your list. Put me first.
This world needs more than 140 characters on a social media outlet. They need an encounter with God.
God didn't empower you just to fulfill your purpose. He empowered you that you would go beyond.
We must start living in the Spirit and stop living and trying to do God in the flesh in your own ability.
You're still the God that healeth me. You're still the Lord my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord my healer.
For coming and being in the house of God today. We want to welcome any guests. If this is your first time, I would like for you to just raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. We have a gift for you. So if you can just wave your hand, they're going to be coming and bringing a gift to you. That's awesome. We're so excited that you're here. We want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you for tuning in. Today is going to be an awesome day. If you're new, we want to invite you afterwards. We have a guest reception right over here in this hallway. We have some light refreshments, but you can meet some of the ministers and pastors here and learn what we're about here. Some real quick, we have a lot going on, as you can see in the video announcements. So I encourage you to kind of pay attention and be watching and looking to see what next events are coming up. How many of you are excited for Easter? Easter is coming very soon. I love Easter. It's always so powerful. But what that means is that we have a production that we're going to be doing. So if you would like to help maybe with staging, or maybe you can act and you would like to participate, I want to encourage you to come every Sunday night. You can talk more to Pastor Aaron or Minister McKenzie on how to get involved. I know they're going to be taking candy donations for our annual Easter egg drop, so make sure you find out more details about that. Let's see. Growth Track. I'm telling you, this class, Growth Track, is a class that we teach here every single Sunday at 9:30 right here in the Welcome Home Room. If you're new to church, maybe you're newly saved, you just gave your heart to Jesus, I want to encourage you to get involved in that class. It's only 4 weeks long. Kayla and Terry Keegan, they teach the class, and they're phenomenal. If you want to get plugged in, you want some base teaching, I want to encourage you to get to that class. It's awesome, awesome stuff. And tonight, if you're 30 and under, ages 18 to 30, I'm still qualifying myself, even though I'm older. But it's 90s night. You want to be here tonight at 6 p.m., okay? So I want to encourage you, if you're from the ages 18 to 30, 32, 31, you know, that area, I want to encourage you to come tonight. It's so much fun, the Awaken group. It is going to be a great time, 90s night. You don't want to miss it. I promise you it's going to be awesome. And also, we have our annual business meeting today, right after second service. So if you'd like to stick around for that, you're welcome to. And here's Pastor Spencer with tithes and offerings.
Good morning. Turning it on helps. Praise the Lord. What an awesome day. How many of you, we were so excited yesterday, we were able to give our daughter away in marriage. She's on her way to Wyoming. You know that's messed up. You know, when anybody does a vacation, you know, they're going to go on their honeymoon. They go, like, where it's warm. She lived in Florida for 2.5 years. She went to Bible school, and she made a decision that she hated the heat. So she's going to Wyoming to a ski resort. And this one thing I really do want to do, she's going to snowmobile in Yellowstone National Park. Now, that's stinking cool. Amen? So this whole place was different yesterday, so it's been transformed. We want to thank all of those who were able to help and be a blessing. And the wedding was just phenomenal. Amen. And praise God, I get to save an enormous amount of money now that my daughter is no longer my responsibility. Jesus. How many of you believe the prayer called the Lord's Prayer? How many of you believe in the Lord's Prayer? Listen, I don't know where you're from. I don't know what your background is, but pretty much everyone's heard of the Lord's Prayer. Amen? Who's never heard of the Lord's Prayer? There could be somebody. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven. You don't have to repeat it after me. You know it. Ready? Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. Give us this. Forgive us. As we leave, but for and the forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. How many of you actually believe the Lord's Prayer? If you actually believe the Lord's Prayer, then you know this, that this part of the service is not about church.
The church only wants your money.
No. You understand that this part of this service is about you and I activating heaven and the Lord's Prayer. How many of you recognize when Adam and Eve were in the garden, there was no sickness? There was full relationship with God, and there was no poverty. How many of you know that was what was in the Garden of Eden? Now, how many of you know what's in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there disease in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Is there unrestrained relationship in heaven? Yes. Unrestrained means you got full access to God. Amen. Whew. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That means what God's desire is. Thy will be done on as it is in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Is there any restraint in our relationship with God in heaven? No. That's what God wants for you right now. See, poverty is not a financial issue in your life. Poverty is a spiritual issue. Poverty has everything to do with spiritual. Because poverty has nothing to do with your pocketbook. It has everything to do with your heart and your mind. God wants you blessed. People have said to me, oh, Pastor, you know, you got to recognize that Jesus was poor. Well, really, I don't recognize that, because when I look at what Jesus lived and who he was, just some quick reality for you, is that Jesus was born in a stable simply because the inn was full. But God, Jesus had a house. How do we know that? Because Joseph had a house and it always went to the firstborn. We also know that Jesus had a treasurer for his disciples. How many of you have ever had a treasurer before? Well, you don't have a treasurer if you only have $1.25. Amen? The Bible says that if you don't take care of your own family, you're no more than an infidel. We're talking about financially taking care of them. When all the disciples followed Jesus, who took care of all the disciples' families? Jesus had to. That's why he had a treasurer. Do you ever recognize that Jesus wore the most expensive garment on the planet? It was called a seamless garment. When he was crucified, that's why they didn't tear it up and just throw it away. That's why they cast lots for it, because it was a seamless garment. See, the church has bought into a lie that Christ was living in absolute poverty. And I want you to realize that he was in relevance to where he was in heaven. But Christ does not want his church poor. God does not want you so poverty-stricken that you can't pay your bills. Can I hear an amen? God does not want you so poverty-stricken that you can't give. Say amen. God wants you to be blessed and not cursed. When you get that in your spirit, you can start believing different. Old time religion taught the more poor you were, the more spiritual you are. And I want you to know that money is nothing more than a way that things are exchanged. Somebody said, and you've heard me say this before, somebody said, well, you know, Pastor, I know somebody who got money and they just did the worst things with that money. And the problem is that had nothing to do with the money. It's just that they could not act that out because before they didn't have the money. See, money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And when you get money and you love money more than you love God, what's already in your heart that you couldn't afford to do, you'll now do. Nothing to do with money has everything to do with your heart. And so I want to challenge you to be a tither. Why? Because God said so. Turn to someone and say, God said so. Not the church, not Pastor Spencer, not his Tabernacle Family Church. God said to tithe. And I love you, and I love that God's word is about obedience. Can I hear an amen? Just how many of you know that if you don't accept Jesus, you can't go to heaven? And it's important that you recognize the same obedience you aim towards going to heaven is the same obedience you want to use to destroy poverty in your life. That is, God, I'll obey you even if it's uncomfortable. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm a tither. What's tithe? It's 10%. Now, today we want to do one other thing, and that is that we haven't received an offering for this at all. In fact, we haven't received a special offering like this since, I think, the first of the year. But we have empowering pastors at the Empower Summit coming in 2 weeks. Listen, you don't want to miss that. Hear me now. You don't want to miss that. We've opened the evening services to the His Tabernacle Family Church family. Now, what do they register online? You can just go and register online, empoweringpastors.com. But Pastor Jim Raley is coming. Now, some of you don't know who he is. He is probably one of the most, he's getting to be one of the most prominent speakers in America right now. Thank God we booked him before he got prominent. Because we wouldn't have gotten him here in the cow field. Amen. Amen. Bishop Rick Thomas will be with us. Amen. Chris Estrada from CFNI will be with us. And Alvin Slaughter will be doing worship with our team. Dear God, you don't want to miss this. It's going to be phenomenal. But if you'd like to sow into the pastors, that's really what it's for, is pastors and leaders. If you want to sow, because there are pastors that can't afford to come. They pastor churches of 25 and 30 that can't afford to come. If you'd like to sponsor a pastor, if you'd like to sow into this ministry, that gives us the opportunity to be a blessing to them. Amen? So why don't you all stand to your feet? If you're a guest in the house, what we usually do is bring our offerings to the Lord. You can write on your, if you want to sow to Empower Summit, you can write Empower Summit, the amount of finances. Yep. We'll actually have a bin right here in the middle for Empower Summit. And your regular tithes and offerings will be on the sides. And I don't know about you, but I just love being able to be a giver. Amen. So let's make our supernatural declaration. You all believe the Bible, right? Shout it out loud. Deuteronomy chapter 28. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Your tithe and your offering.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I praise your name.
Your name.
I praise
your name. Your name.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning.
The
same yesterday, today, and forever.
You're the
I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning at 5:15, which meant 4:15, and I said, "Dear God." Then the roads where we were weren't plowed. Woo, four-wheel drive all the way up to the house. Amen. Today, you and I are very, very, very blessed. We are going to have Pastor Rhonda Spencer speak. And no, really, if you've not heard her speak yet, I'm talking like she's gone to another level already. And I'm just blessed, you know, as her husband, to be able to sit in her shadow and be able to encourage her from behind. No, really, she is an awesome. God bless her. She's just written another book, and I know many of you have it already, and it's blessed many people literally all over the world already. People have been purchasing it all over the world. And so can you welcome with me Pastor Rhonda Spencer?
Amen. Good morning. I love the opportunity to bring the Word of God to you. It is such a privilege, and I'm thankful that my husband allows me to do that and actually pushes and encourages me to do that. But I just want to share from the Word of God what is happening right now while you're sitting here. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is quick, active, alive, powerful, effective, sharper than a two-edged sword, that it actually penetrates as far as separating the spirit and the flesh, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of your heart. The Word of God, when it goes forth, as you are sitting here today, is doing surgery. You didn't just come and sit yourself in a building. This is saying when the Word of God goes forth, it actually does surgery in your heart. That's why I love going to the house of God. I love sitting under men of God that speak the Word of God and women of God that speak the Word of God, because just by putting yourself in these seats, you are getting surgery, spiritual, supernatural surgery that's happening in your heart and mind. And then Isaiah 55:11 says that his word will not return void. What it is sent to do will prosper. It will actually, so the Word of God, when it's going forth, it's doing surgery. It's going to prosper in your life. It's going to hit exactly what you need to hear, and it's going to prosper. And then he also says in Jeremiah 1:12 that he watches over his word to make sure it is performed. So we can guarantee just by sitting in the house today that you're going to leave this place different than when you came in, because the word is going to go forth. They asked for my sermon notes this morning, and I just kind of chuckled because my sermon notes is always just pages of scripture references. So I gave them my sermon notes, and they have lots of scripture references, because why would I teach anything else but the Word of God? Because I know the Word of God, when it goes forth, is going to work. It is going to do work in our hearts and minds. So I'm preaching from my new book, Victory Every Day, because that is what God has intended for our lives. So I want to just tell you real quickly what we're going to share today. That we're going to share two things you need to do for victory every day. Two things you actually have to do. Because how many of you know it's not automatic? It doesn't just fall. You can sit in the same church and be around the same people, and why has this happened for them and it doesn't happen for me? Because there's things we actually have to do in order to walk in victory every day. So I'm going to talk about two things you need to do to walk in victory every day. And one is choose to focus, so it's your choice, and then trust God. And then three things you need to know for victory every day. So what you need to do and what you need to know to walk in victory every day. And what you need to know, the three things, are who you are, whose you are, and the outcome. And then we can walk in victory every day. Because real victory is walking in peace and joy no matter what the circumstances and situations are in front of us. Amen. To be able to walk through whatever comes our way, whatever is thrown at us. I have a couple scriptures on that. Romans 8:37. It says, yet amid all these things. How many of you have felt like you're amid all these things at times? It says, this is the word of God that works and is going to perform. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors. And we gain surpassing victory through him who loved us. So we actually have surpassing victory in us. That's not little weak, like barely making it by. No, we have surpassing victory amid all of these things. That's what God's word says. Yet we don't always walk that way, but that's the way we were intended. We were intended to walk in victory every single day. And then John 16, 33, I love this passage so much because God's real. You know, sometimes preachers can share all of these flower and rainbow and gumdrops and fluffy cloud messages, but Jesus tells us the truth. In John 16, 33, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have frustrations. You will have disappointments. So I'm sorry to tell you, but the reality is you will have those things. But he doesn't leave us there. That would be horrible if he just left us there. The rest of that verse is that, but don't be afraid because I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. Man, I get so excited about the word of God. If we would open this up and read it, it would change everything. It's not just when you sit in church, when you do your devotions or you put on the radio and you're listening to your Bible app. When you're hearing the word, it is transforming. It is like a blood infusion into your body. I was actually born Rh factor. I was blue, and they had to do several transfusions on me. But that's what the word of God does. You could be dead. You could be barely making it. You could be amid all of these things. You could be in the middle of frustration and discouragement, and you get the word of God, and that infusion comes, and it brings life back into your system. That's what the word, and that's what he desires for us. Every single one of us can walk in victory every day. Psalms 44:5. Here it is from the word of God. This is the Passion Translation. And it says, through your glorious name and your awesome power, not just a little bit, his awesome power, you can push. So that's the doing. You can push through to any victory and defeat every enemy. Any and every. So your case is not exclusive. It's not exempt from the word of God. Any victory and every enemy, you can push through and defeat. There is no reason why a child of God, empowered of God, carrying the Spirit of God, has to walk in defeat. There is no reason at all for it. God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. He says in Matthew 11, 29 through 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, Christian, that's what people should see when they see our lives. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I'm going to give you lots of scriptures of how we can do this because it's God's desire, not for Christians to be broken and carrying all of this weight. No, it's easy with God. He's already given us everything that we need. Listen, the enemy is defeated. Let me read these scriptures to you. This is part of who we are. We are more than conquerors. We just read that scripture. We are overcomers. But we need to know that the enemy, he is defeated, powerless against us already. It's not even like something that's going to happen. It has already happened. Amen. And for some reason, I can't find my scriptures. He is defeated. I know I could really just quote them and run through. Okay, Colossians 2:15. It says, When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. So he defeated the enemy at the time of the cross, and he made a public spectacle of them. So when we're saying, oh, but the enemy, oh, but the devil, no, he already defeated the enemy. In Revelation 12, 7 through 11, it says, but they were defeated. There was no room found for them in heaven any longer. And the enemy was forced out, and his angels were flung out along with him. For the accuser of the brethren, who keeps bringing forth charges, charges against them day and night, has been cast out. They have overcome. It's already been done. And then it says in John 16, 33 that we read that he's actually deprived it of its power to harm us, the enemy. He has no power. He's already been defeated. So when you say, too many times as Christian, we make the devil so big, the enemy, the attack so big, and our God, who is all-powerful, undefeated, and has never lost, we make him so small. We flip the way it should be. No, we need to know who our God is and who our God is in us. And we need to know who the devil is. He is defeated. Listen. If we are not winning in life, it is not the devil. It is not the devil. The word of God tells us over and over, he's already defeated. He's powerless. God has given you authority over him. We are not walking in victory because of the devil. It is because point number one in our sermon outline is it's our choice. We have to choose. So Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. You know, we love that passage because it's talking about the price that was paid for us on the cross. But listen to what it said in there. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. So part of the package of the cross, part of salvation is peace. We get to walk in peace every single day. Peace and joy, that's what was purchased for us. The word of God speaks peace over you 429 times. But are we walking in peace? You see, it's our choice. Listen, we can have peace, the peace that God has for us. We can stand on a trusting God. We can trust God. We can trust his word. When it says he cannot lie, when it says he's no respecter of persons, when he says all things will work together for your good. Oh, I love that passage so much because it's not just for the same. All things will work together for the same. No, that's not what it says. It says all things will work together for my good. That means better than when it started. So when that stuff starts happening to you, get excited about it because it's just getting better. Life's just going to be better. Don't be dragging around and discouraged. No, he's overcome that thing. He's given you power. He's surpassing inside of you. It's going to be better on the other side according to the word of God. It also says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It cannot. It has no other choice but to turn out for your good and be better. But why don't we walk like that? Again, it comes down to choice. It's our choice. Where are we going to camp? Where are we going to pitch our tent? Are we going to pitch it in the enemy's thoughts and in the negative? And all the things of the world, amid all these things, in the frustration, in the trouble, too many times. And pastor's been preaching on this. He's been preaching on our thoughts and on fear. Too many times, that's immediately where we go. It's the first place we go to camp. It's first place we put our focus. It's the first place we fix ourselves. Well, God is over here saying, no, no, I have victory for you. I have joy for you. I have peace for you. But listen, we have to do. We have to choose. It's in your hand. Nobody else. Oh, I love that. Listen, it is in nobody else's hands. I love that my destiny, I love that my today, my right now is in nobody's hands but mine and God's. Nobody else's. But that's a choice. I can give it over. I can give it over to all the things that are happening around me. I can become overwhelmed in all those things. Or I can choose to stand on the word of God and stand and stay and fix my eyes in his camp. And when we do that, we can have peace in any situation. Peace that passes all understanding, the word of God. I love that kind of peace. That's a supernatural peace. That's the kind of peace that's like people look at you, how on earth can you be in peace right now? We were talking not too long ago to a couple who had a very, very hard labor and delivery. Like, baby and mom were both at risk for their lives, and they were getting ready to deliver again. And some stuff started happening. So some of us might immediately go over here because, you know, that's real. That's real stuff. When it's life, it's your family, you've seen it before, you can immediately let fear jump in and those thoughts of the past, or you can choose, oh, to know what the word of God says, and you can choose to stand in the peace of the word of God. And the man looked at us and he said, I literally felt just a peace come upon me that I could not even explain. I just knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. And that's what God has for every single one of us. 429 times he spoke peace. Peace to whatever you're going through right now. Peace to that situation. Know that he's already overcome. Know that it has to work out for your good. Know that he loves you. His love is unconditional. He doesn't quit on you. He doesn't. When you know that, listen, when all amid all those things, you can be sitting over here in peace and joy. Not worried. Not anxious for anything. Not defeated, not dragging along. And that's what he has for every single one of us. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Do not fret about anything. I love that God gets to use these extreme words because my husband tells me I'm not allowed to use them. You know, when we say all the time, every, those are bad words when you're like married and having spats, because it's not every time and it's not all the time. So you have to be careful of that. Just marriage tip right there. But I love that God gets to use these words. It's super cool because he uses them all the time. So here it is. Do not fret about anything. And guess what? He has the power to back it up. He's put the power inside of you to pack it up. In his word, he lives and dwells inside of us. Great, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells inside of you. Man, that gets me excited. But listen, if you could just get that concept in you, the power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Man, that in itself should keep us over here trusting in God. That in itself should keep us so far. Man, I have the power of God, the resurrection power that can raise even those things that are dead and hopeless back alive again. That's the power that's inside of every single one of us. Okay, let's get past the word anything. I'm telling you, I love this word so much. This word just fires me up. It's like a vitamin D shot. It's like a energy shot. It's just the best in the world. I love it. So do not fret about anything. And in everything, pray and bring it to the Lord. Trusting in God. Trusting in God in everything. And listen to what it says. And then the peace that passes all understanding shall garrison. And this is in the Amplified Version. Garrison means a fortified troop put around it. Like, I have a fortified troop around my mind and my heart and my life. When we choose to trust in God, when we refuse to camp over there on the enemy's side, or those things or all the circumstances or the situation, listen, they have no effect on my life. Literally, even the very real things that are happening against me, I can choose to sit over those and allow them, because our tongue is a pen of a ready writer. Or I can choose to say, no, this has to work out for my good. And listen, every single time, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Every single time, he works it out for our good. So it shall garrison, mount guard over your mind and heart. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 8. Oh, and then it goes on to say, so think on these things, things that are true, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are kind, things that are praiseworthy. You know, we like to take that first one and stop there. Whatsoever, think on these things, whatsoever things are true. Well, that could be truth. That could be stuff that's really happening. But it goes on to say, it didn't just stop and say, and it doesn't say or, and. So think on, the only things we are to think on, and this is our choice and our right. Oh, and nobody can touch it. No matter what they're doing or no matter what the situation, nobody can touch what we choose to think on. He tells us here to think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, pure, lovely, of good report. Those are the things he wants us to think on. Why? Because he wants us to walk in peace and joy and victory every single day. It's what he has for every single one. It's not just for the special people. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for leaders. Listen, it's for every single one. Victory every day is what we should be walking in. So when we know who we are, Luke 10:19 says, behold, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. All. See, he gets to use those extreme words. I think that's one of the things that gets me the most happy. All. Behold, I give you authority over all the devices of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's who you are. That's the power you have inside of you. That is the authority every single one of us has been given. But we have to choose when that reality comes facing us. We have to choose. Am I going to be pulled over to this side? And listen, that's our automatic default. It's too easy. We need to change that. And I'm believing as the word of God is being planted in your spirit that automatic default right now is being severed off. It's being severed off. And God is implanting a new default inside of you. That your automatic, your first thing, when bad report comes or when somebody comes against you or something happens, wouldn't be awesome if our first thing would be, but I'm going to trust in God. And nothing that comes against me will succeed and everything will work out for my good. What if that was just our default? Now listen, it is not a one-time choice. That would be so super cool if I could just say, yep, from now on, that's just going to be what happens. When anything happens, I'm determining right this minute that that's what's going to happen. I'm sorry. It's going to take choice every time. And sometimes it's not even one-time choice. Sometimes 5 seconds after you've chosen to do that, you're going to have to choose to do that again. You're going to have to choose to stand. And when you've done everything to stand, you're going to need to keep standing. But God has given us everything that we need to walk in that kind of peace and that kind of victory in every circumstance, in every situation. He doesn't want his children dwelling over in this hopeless and powerless place. But too many times we take and we throw in the towel, or we just accept it as, oh, well, this is my lot in life. Or sometimes we just didn't even know. Maybe you didn't know you didn't have to have that as your destiny, as your place to camp out. Today you know it is not where God has called you. He has called you to peace and joy in every situation and in anything that comes against you. You can walk through life literally sipping your tea, just enjoying everything. Everything can be brighter. Everything can be better. And it doesn't matter. Amid all those things, you can just be enjoying life because he has come, John 10:10, to give you abundant life. Not just, come on, church. church. Stop dragging through life. Stop barely making it through life. He has called you to walk in abundant life, but we have to do. Too many times we sit back. We expect it to fall out of the sky. No, we have to do. We have to arrest our mind. And 5 seconds later, you arrest your mind again. And you tell your mind what your destiny is. You tell your circumstance how it's going to turn out. You speak to it and watch God move in your life. And listen, most of the time, it's not the way you say it's going to be. I'm so good at telling God how it has to go. Now, this has to happen for this to happen. And then if this happens, then I know this can happen and this can happen. Aren't we good at that? How many, am I the only one in here or anybody else in here good at telling God? And it's so funny. Like, I think it's almost enjoyable for him to be like, ha, watch this. None of those things happen. Not one of them. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not the way it's supposed to, but he always works it out for my good in the end. And when I stand and I keep standing, and when I've done all the stand, I'm still standing, then we will be able to walk in the peace and the joy and the victory of the Lord. But too many times, somewhere along the way, we get tripped up and we get back over here. So I was asking God about this. I was pondering because it really bothered me that why would the enemy then even work on me? Why would he even try to attack in my life? Why would he ever even try to get in my mind? Because if anything that comes against me will work out for my good, why is he just making me better and better and better? Like, come on, this just doesn't make any sense. And what I heard the Spirit of God say is because maybe this time I'll find them too tired. Maybe this time they'll give in. Maybe this time it'll be too deep, or it'll be somebody too close to them. Maybe this time. Don't let this be your maybe this time, where you just throw in the towel. Listen, the alternative to what God has given for you, the alternative to what he has purchased on the cross and paid for and won for you already is hopelessness.
That's right.
Come on. I just don't even understand why anyone would choose this option. There's the end of focusing on this is it gets bigger and bigger. It gets a stronger and stronger hold on your life. You get more and more depressed. You get more and more discouraged. It is hopelessness. There are only two options out there. I don't like the other option. I like life. I love to have fun. I love joy. I love peace. I will not sacrifice joy and peace for anything or anyone. And that's our choice. Isn't that so exciting? It doesn't matter what's dealt to you. Oh, man, this is how he's no respecter of persons. Listen, I don't care what's been dealt to you. You can have anything and everything. You can have abundant life. You can have joy and peace. It's in your hands. It's your choice. Why wouldn't you? He says in Proverbs, choose life. Set before you today are life and death. Choose life. Why would we choose just accepting what's been? Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I'm not just stuck with what was handed down by my parents. By my upbringing, by my history, is anybody else in here excited that they're not stuck in that? I don't have to live in that. I don't have to be a part of it. Oh, I'm so thankful because you don't know my family. You don't know my history. You don't know the generations, but I don't have to walk in that. That is not my destiny. I get to choose. Man, choose life. Choose life this day. So when anything and everything comes up against you, you have a choice. You have to choose. You have to do something. You have to choose. Listen, your mind is automatically, it's going to drag you over here. It's going to try to forcibly, it's going to be like a nagging child. The devil's like a nagging child. Mom, 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 mom. And you know how you give in to that? Don't give in to that. Don't give in to it with your child. Don't give in to it with the enemy. He's like a nagging child. Mom, 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 mom. Guess what? Stand firm. Stand firm, parents. Stand firm. Stand firm. same way we've always done it, or you're going to get the same results. And there's hopelessness at the end of that. So I don't care if you find yourself all the way over here, camped inside this tent. I can't get in there. I don't care. He's going to shut me in. I don't care if you find yourself all the way over here in the muck and mire, in the cold damp. No, don't shut me in. Don't shut me in. I got it. You can't shut me in. You might find yourself all the way. It's okay. It's okay, because the same choice moment that got you in there, you can make a choice to get yourself out of there. Oh, his mercies are new every single morning. This moment is a brand new moment. You don't have to stay in there. You don't have to stay stuck. When the revelation of the word of God hits inside of you, it's been doing something inside of you. It's been doing surgery, separating you from that, separating you from that, and causing you to be able to walk in peace and joy amidst all of these things. And that is where victory every day dwells. Amen. How many of you are ready? But listen, I'm warning you, it's not a one-time choice. Sometimes it's moment by moment. Sometimes it's every moment of a 24/7. But whatever you've got to do, choose life. Choose life, because God's called. He paid for this. He didn't die on the cross for you to be all holed up in that. That's not what he paid for. He paid for joy and peace and victory to be yours. And we get to every single one, no one excluded, no circumstance exempted. Every single one of us get to choose our very moment and our destiny. And the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. You keep choosing from glory to glory. He'll keep bringing you. He who began a good work in you shall complete it until the very end. Man, these are scriptures that I just quote myself through life with. When I get discouraged and think, maybe he's through with me. Maybe I can't do this. No, he who began this work shall complete it. He's always pulling us further. He's always pulling us forward. He won't quit on you. He won't stop on you. He's paid the price, and the devil is defeated. He is not even a contender. Amen. I could go on and on. Please get the book. It's cheap. I only made it $12, so everybody could get it. Get the book. I would preach all day on this. There's so many chapters, so many great things from the Word of God that cause us to be able to walk in victory every day. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning. Maybe you're in this place and you've never accepted Jesus into your life. You've never even started this awesome adventure with your best friend that will never leave you or forsake you. If that's you in this place, or maybe you've even found yourself in a backslidden state where you've walked away from God, and maybe you've even questioned and doubted God because of the circumstances of life, and you've just given up. If you're in this place today and you want to invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I just want you to raise your hand real quickly with me. I'm not going to wait very long. If you're here and you want to ask Jesus into your life, I want you to raise your hand real quickly. I want to introduce you the best friend you will ever have. 5, 4, 3, thank you, 2, and 1. Now, if you could stand to your feet with me. Mackenzie, you got something, victory, for me to end with? Thanks. Because I love victory. I'm sorry. I want to walk out of this place. The word having done surgery in our life. The word producing. He's watching over this word as you go forth. I'm believing that when your next encounter, and it might be before you even leave the building, that hits you, or a dart tries to come and get you and cause you to be distracted, I'm praying that your first thing is going to be, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to stand on every, I'm not going over to that hopeless place. I won't go there. I won't stay there, but I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. Jesus. I thank you for your powerful word that is surpassing, that is in every single one that has heard today. Faith comes by hearing. And thank you for increased faith in every single heart. Thank you for faith for that circumstance. Faith for that situation to arise right now. Faith, new faith, brand new faith, Lord God. We thank you for it. Thank you for doing surgery in our hearts and minds. We thank you for the price you paid on Calvary so that we could walk in victory every day. God, we choose you. We choose you. We choose you. And now, Father God, pour out peace that passes all understanding and joy unspeakable into our daily life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Be blessed. If you're a guest in the house, come to the guest reception right down this hallway. We'd love to meet you.
As well as the prayer team's going to be around the front of the altar. If you have any prayer need, make sure you come on up. They'll lay hands on you. God will heal you. He'll set you free. You'll have someone that will believe God with you. We love you. Make sure all the guests, if you get an opportunity, make it on over to the guest reception room.